The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day, the almighty creator. I apologize for my video. I'm moving house tomorrow and there's chaos behind me and I don't have a green screen. So I apologize for the video. It's cutting out the virtual backgrounds, giving problems. So good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. My name is James Robertson. I'm a researcher, publisher, and teacher regarding the matters and truths of the Almighty Creator, whose true name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing. I've been actively serving him since 1993, over 30 years. If you're not actively serving Yah, then by default you're serving Satan. My objective is to show you how you can make a big difference on earth and qualify for a position of high esteem in heaven for eternity. It is important to understand that as a believer, just being good is not the point. It is relationship with Yah that counts. Without this, you will be in a very unpleasant place in heaven with no way out. My aim is to show you how to get close to Father. If you are a good person without a clear relationship with Yah, then you're in a spiritual no man's land and will not enter heaven when you die. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? Yah is calling everybody on the planet to be involved and serve him and help him to have victory over Satan. My goal is to show you how to do this. Fundamentally, we each need to learn to see things on earth from Yah's perspective, and my aim is to teach you how to do that. Please visit my website at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's endtimeissueministries as one word .org. Or email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's J-A-M-E-S. Today we're going to look at Where Will You Spend Eternity, Part 9. Overview. We're looking at what is required in order to qualify to sit on a high throne for eternity. And we're looking specifically at some quotes out of the book, The Final Quest by Rick Joyner. So we'll continue by looking at the battle, which we started last week. We'll then discuss the armor of Yah, the armor that protects us. We'll then talk about spokesmen and spokeswomen, prophets, and then motives. Finally, we'll start to look at the judgment seat. Thereafter, we will look at the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. So this is based on the article 2024-0103, Where Will You Spend Eternity? With commentary on the Final Quest, 3rd edition, part 9. The book was originally written in about 2003, and we're continuing to look at the battle as described by Joyner. In one of the early visions, Joyner reports the commencement of a major battle between the forces of darkness and the servants of the Almighty. The number references that I'll give you are to the pages and paragraphs in my copy of The Final Quest, which is available on the website. As a scanned PDF, go to the ETI Bible version and under that you'll find The Final Quest. In 22:3, Joyner reports that there were many more Christians being used by the evil one than in the army of Yah. This suggests also that all of us who are men should check out very prayerfully where we really stand with the Almighty. He reports that there are far more women and children in the army of Yah than there are men. This observation should also be considered in the light of Isaiah 4:1-5. And in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread, and wear our own apparel. Let us only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. And then it continues on verse 4, when Yah shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and the spirit of burning. The passage is speaking about the end of the age when the Almighty shall cleanse the body of believers by fire. It's my understanding that this period has now commenced, but is at a very early stage. The Almighty has also indicated that verse 1 indicates that in these days there will be seven times as many women as men in the body of true believers. That is, believers as judged by the Almighty, not as we judge them. Folks, this is so important. There is a massive body of wrong thinking in many religious groups regarding the position and the role of women. In Yah's sight, women are absolutely equal to men. They have a different role in life in terms of what Yah envisaged as bearing children and raising children, but they are just as important and they have just as much rank. It is great sin to treat women differently to men in a negative way. I'm talking about not letting them go to school, not letting them go to university, forcing them to wear headscarves, speaking down to them, denying them access to the most senior jobs. It's just wrong, folks. And if you're a man who thinks you're better than women, and you at some level profess to be a believer, I urge you to let go of the lie. Because if you don't, and you make it to the judgment seat, you're going to get a nasty shock. And if you make it into heaven, you're probably going to get an even bigger shock, because you're going to find that there are many more women than men in heaven. Father has also shown me that many of the women are in spiritually desperate circumstances and desperately need the covering of a man who fears Yah. There are not nearly enough of such men to go around, and most of the men who fall into this category do not understand their responsibilities. I've also found that it's psychologically, emotionally, and socially impossible for women raised under monogamy to share a man, so the vast majority of believing women must either remain single and celibate or marry unbelievers, which Yah forbids. See the webpage Single Woman Believers Seven Times Men for more information. So those of you who are watching video, I really apologize for this. I hope by next Friday that I will have a better background. So if you're a woman and you don't have a believing woman and you don't have a husband and you're looking for a believing husband, I have to tell you, you're probably not going to find one. There just aren't a lot to go around. There are far more women than men in the body of true believers today. It's a great mistake and great sin to join yourself to an unbeliever, so please don't do that. If you can't find a man who is a true believer who is at least as close to Father as you are, you're better to remain single. There is a bit of a catch there, and that is that it is not forbidden for women to have sexual relationships with other women, and I'm talking now about lifetime covenant relationships. So that is an option if you can find the appetite for it, which most women can't. And then let's carry on. Excuse me. Jonah talks about the armor. He sees in his visions people wearing armor. And he comments on that extensively. And we'll talk about that now. So in page 22, paragraph 4, Jonah also reports that very few of those in the army of Yah had on all their armor, and those that did had very small shields, and the shields speak to emunah, to faith. In 23:1, he reports that few of those who were fully armed were adequately trained to use their arms. This is all a reference to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in Yah, the eternally self-existing, and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of Yah, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore take unto you the whole armor of Yah, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of Yah. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. This passage does not include the mantle of humility, which the final quest evidences is critically important. But each of these deal with spiritual disciplines, if you like. The loins girt about with truth, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the gospel of peace, the shield of emunah, the shield of faith, wherefore ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the commandments of Yah. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So it's important to understand that the armor is a metaphor, disciplines and beliefs that we take on. So we need to be always speaking the truth and never lying. We need to always be seeking peace and not strife and conflict. We need to always walk in emunah, in faith. And by faith, we will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. In the name of Yeshua, I speak to that demon that has just manifested, and I bind you now, and I command you to go where Father Yah sends you. For example, the helmet of salvation, the awareness of your relationship with Yah, that you are close to him, the sword of the Spirit, the commandments, the Ten Commandments, sharp as a two-edged sword, dividing between truth and error. Prayer at all times. You can ask Father to teach your spirit to pray at all times, 24/7, 365. Very few people understand that, but it is a gift that your spirit can be praying even while you're engaged in business, eating meals, family matters, etc. It's really important to pray regularly for guidance to walk in the fullness of what this passage represents. It's also important to realize that components of the armor can be lost or damaged. This is what the metaphor tells us and is confirmed in the final quest. I've recently added to the points above the mantle of humility as per the visions. See also Demonic Masterminds Direct to better understand the forces of darkness against which the battle is directed. Folks, it's easy to read the final quest at a superficial level. It's important to go beyond that, read the final quest, understanding what I've just shared with you. Understand that when he sees people who lose their armor, they stop worrying about truth. They stop worrying about righteousness. They stop, etc. When they cast down, their swords. They discard the commandments of Yah. And that's what happens when people go off the mark, go off the rails. And conversely, people who have never been instructed in those things don't know them and don't do them. On page 33, paragraph 2, Joyner reports an incident in which the Spirit of the Almighty embodied in the vision as wisdom, one of the seven spirits of the Almighty, prevents Joyner from falling off the mountain of Yah and reminds Joyner of 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. The final quest offers a number of references to this verse in the context that when we become overconfident of our place with the Almighty or have a major victory, we are most likely to fall. The visions and metaphors in the book also indicate that such a fall can be dramatic. It is possible to get really close to Father, and it is possible to fall away overnight if you get into major sin or error or deception. The best protection I know about that is to pray regularly, preferably daily. Father, I ask you to judge me severely and correct me harshly, that I may serve you more perfectly. Amen. I currently pray that every day. I've prayed it on and off since 1997 or 1998, when I learned that I could pray that from the final quest. The judgments generally are quite manageable. If you get into fairly major sin, they could be quite painful. It's far better to be judged by Yah than to blunder along making mistakes and not realizing you've made the mistakes. For example, it's indicated that pride can result in a person who has won a mighty victory for the Almighty being taken prisoner by the enemy immediately thereafter. Pages 34 and 35 make particular reference to Father's unconditional love. This ties in with the passages cited previously in terms of walking in unconditional love. This is extremely important and extremely challenging. On page 45, reference is made to the third heaven, which is stated that it is wisdom to seek to know about the third heaven. It's also stated that there is much more to learn than can be learned in this life. Sintai message is essentially about what is required in order to be an overcomer in the era of the third heaven, with some reference to what that looks like. Folks, I'm going into detail with the final quest because the insights that I've gained through reading it repeatedly, I believe, are very powerful, and I believe are largely from Yah. There are areas where he's off the mark, where he refers to the canon of Scripture, where he worships Jesus as the Almighty, which he's not. He still uses the names God, the Lord, Jesus, and so forth, which really upsets Father. But basically, he had the visions. He was taken into heaven. They really are genuine. So, I encourage you to read the book. The book is on the website. I've made commentary up to part 2 of chapter 5. If you go to the ETI Bible version page near the top of the menu on the website, under that is the final quest. Why is the final quest there? Because I regard it as of equal importance to the Bible. You may get all upset with me about that, but folks, Father hasn't stopped speaking to his people. Pages 46 and 47 make particular reference to knowing both the love, chesed, and the severity of the Almighty, where his severity is represented by his judgments. We're advised to fear the judgments of the Almighty as well as knowing His love. In various parts of the final quest, reference is made to humility. It's repeatedly indicated that humility is not something that appeals to human beings, that we're prone to pride. It's also indicated that without humility, it's not possible to understand much about the Almighty in His kingdom. It's also not possible to see clearly in the spiritual realm without humility. Pride blinds our spiritual eyes and blocks our spiritual ears. I think humility is one of the most difficult things to consciously seek. I don't think we have a real role model in this era of a truly humble person that we can learn from. And asking Father to judge us is probably the best way. So from this information, it appears to be really important to regularly pray, Father, please humble me and cleanse me of all pride, self-righteousness, and all other forms of self. Page 43, it is pointed out that the armor of Yah set out in Ephesians 6, cited above, does not cover the back. So turning and running from the enemy in fear opens one up to defeat just as much as advancing into the enemy ranks in pride also opens one up to defeat. We're created to work together in teams. Yeshua sent His followers out in twos precisely for this reason, so that each could cover the back of the other. This is one reason why a divided house cannot stand, as stated in Matthew 12:25. Yeshua, incorrectly Jesus, knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every king or every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Couple of key points here, folks. It is so important not to go into a situation driven by pride, self-confidence, self-righteousness. You expose yourself to attack, to come behind you. And the same way, turning around and running from a situation. You need to go into a situation in the name of Yeshua and confront it boldly, firmly, in emunah faith, with every aspect, speaking truth, peace, righteousness, salvation, wielding the commandments of Yah as a sharp two-edged sword, tearing down principalities, powers, thrones, and dominions. The point about 2x2 is a major reason why strife between husband and wife or wives is so spiritually damaging, and why submission of wives is so important. If a wife is arguing with her husband, how can she cover his back and how can he cover hers? If the husband is advancing in pride or the wife is retreating in fear or vice versa, how can the house stand? The same observations apply to strife, pride, and fear in a business. Strife, pride, and fear in a ministry. Strife, pride, and fear in a nation, etc. This is why submission to leaders is so important. On page 54, it is illustrated that advancing in pride can open the door for strong delusion and doctrines of demons. The potential to fall at any time from any level is stressed. On page 55, we're advised to inquire of the Almighty before making major decisions and to seek humility. Directional prayers such as those that I've suggested previously, prayed sincerely in faith, emunah, out of recognition of one's own fallibility, are absolutely vital. In 55:5, it is stated that Yah is closer to the homeless than to kings, that we only have true strength to to the extent that we walk in the grace of Yah, because the Almighty gives his grace to the humble. This is a reference to 1 Peter 5:5, quoted below in the context of 1 Peter 5:1 to 11. 5, likewise, ye younger, submit both yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For Yah resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of Yah, that he may exalt you in due time. Folks, I am very aware of the fact that I don't really know what humility is, and in my own strength, I don't know how to walk in humility. I don't even know whether I'm particularly humble or not, because nobody's expressed an opinion to me on that topic in quite some time. For many years, I battled with pride, and so I sort of understand pride and how it comes in, but I work in a business where I operate in a lot of assurance in terms of my knowledge and experience. I speak very authoritatively. Do I speak authoritatively in humility? I don't know. I don't think I operate in pride anymore. I certainly did for many years in my life. And there were many years in my life where I was proud enough to say that I was humble. I don't go there anymore. Best suggestion I can make: Yah, judge me severely, correct me harshly, that I may serve you more perfectly. And I just encourage you to go for that. On page 55, paragraph 5, it is also stated that no evil weapon can penetrate the mantle of humility, because nothing can overpower the grace of the Almighty. This is an extremely important and challenging principle. The only way one can manage to walk in true humility is to ask the Almighty to humble one, to judge one, to correct one, to guide one, etc. Very difficult. I don't know what more to say. Seek humility, and seek humility by asking Yah to humble you. And then understand that it's probably going to be a little bit of an uncomfortable journey for some time. Depends how quickly you learn. Jonah then goes on to speak about prophets, in other words, spokesmen and spokeswomen. Prophet is another meaningless modern term. It relates to people who speak, who hear Yah and speak on his behalf. Page 59, paragraph 2, it is stated that only those who receive prophets as prophets can receive the prophet's reward or the benefits of the services of a prophet. In other words, those who judge the man or woman to determine if he is a prophet are likely to miss it from the start. It's advisable to rather hear a woman or man claims to be a prophet and subsequently prayerfully decide what to do with what they say, then to pass a judgment on them and reject him or her, no matter what one's understanding may say about them or their word. The reference to prophets in 59:2 is specifically in the context of receiving warnings of danger, error, etc. Only if we realize how far we are from the Almighty and how imperfect all of our brethren in the faith are, can we choose to cease judging and rejecting others, and let the Almighty speak to us even through those who are imperfect. This may be vital to turn us away from strong delusion or other serious error. We may not like the message of the prophet, however it may be critical in terms of where we spend eternity. I find myself fairly regularly, particularly on Facebook, encountering people where I offer comment based on what Yah has shown me. And they come back and say, but that's not in the Bible. To which my answer is that the Bible is 2,000 years old and Yah has not stopped speaking to his people. So why should it be in the Bible? And then they reject the message and they reject the messenger. It's been happening since the very early days. There's a saying, there's a verse which says, we're in the world, we're not of the world. The fact of the matter is that even amongst believers, the majority of believers do not understand Yah, they do not understand what's going on. And if somebody comes to them speaking in the name of Yah, who actually has heard Yah, they're likely to reject the message and the messenger. I said to someone the other day, you know, that you are part of the group of people who, if Yeshua were to turn up today, you would probably put him to death. It's sad. People don't know how to receive spokesmen and spokeswomen prophets. They don't know what to do with what they hear. I've had a number of instances where I've gone to somebody and said, Father says ABC, they go and do XYZ. They just don't get the importance of the message. Joyner then goes on to talk about motives, and in 63:2 he states, I now think that most of the things I did for the wrong reasons, and many of the wrong things I did, I had good motives for. Since first reading this passage, I continue to see how true this is. It also creates great difficulty for others. They see us doing right things for wrong reasons and conclude that the Almighty did not speak to us or did not guide us or that we were doing the wrong things. Conversely, where people see we have good motives, they conclude that what we're doing is good or right. Our tendency to do these things and judge others and the actions of others is a major hindrance to us doing the will of the Almighty and leading others in the will of the Almighty. So I shared earlier a situation with the managing director of a medium-sized British company who has a situation with his brother where they're constantly at loggerheads. Brother took over the business, ran it into a £2 million loss. This brother took over the business from the other brother, turned it into £1.5 million profit, and there's still politics going on about doing it this man's way or that man's way. Very difficult to know who's doing the right things unless you're close to Yah and Yah is helping you. In 63:2, Joyner also states, the more I learn, the more unsure of myself I feel. The prophet that is speaking to Joyner then advises him in 63:5 that what Joyner is experiencing is, quote, the true faith. Joyner responds in 63:6 that he is referring to serious doubts. The prophet responds that it is wise to doubt yourself and then goes on to state in 64:1 that true faith depends on the Almighty, not yourself. In essence, I understand this to indicate the more we move ahead in confidence, the more likely that we are to mess up at some point. We are constantly praying to the Father, asking his guidance, the more likely we are to do his will, at least to some extent. Note that such prayers are not a blank check to storm ahead and do whatever we feel led to do. We have the final say. We are ultimately accountable for all our words and deeds. This is so important. There's a lot of wrong thinking about being led by Yah. That Yah is just going to script things and set things up for you. It doesn't work that way. We are going to be judged for what we do on earth. And Yah is not going to take you over and take your life over and just direct and what have you. He will give you guidance. He will open some doors. He will close some doors. He will give you favor. He will give you wisdom. But at the end of the day, it's up to you what you do. Every second of every day. Father has said to me on occasions, James, I don't know what you're going to do or say in the next minute. how can I know what's going to happen in the end of your life? He can give you indications under certain circumstances, but generally he is not, you're not a glove puppet. He said this to me several times, you're not a glove puppet. I'm not a performing seal. He will help you. There's an article on the website, The Greatest Error That Is Destroying Strong Believers. Have a look at it. This lack of self-confidence and total reliance on the Almighty may be misinterpreted by others in all sorts of ways. Again, it's another reason not to judge others. In 64:3, it is stated that it is together, not individually, that we are to know the secrets of the Almighty. In 66:4, it is indicated that spiritual maturity is always determined by our willingness to sacrifice our own desires for the interests of the kingdom or for the sake of others. This is an essential agreement, an essential ingredient of the message of Yeshua in Matthew 5 and 6 previously cited. It's also central to many of the other passages, such as men loving their wives as Yeshua loved the body of believers and died for them, wives submitting to their husbands as Yeshua submitted to those who killed him, etc. In 66:4, it is also indicated that that which requires the most sacrifice will almost always take us to the highest level. So, folks, if you have been seduced, is a word that comes to mind, by prosperity teaching, God wants you to prosper and just do this and do that and do this and you'll be wealthy. It's not quite as easy as that. You need to do things. You need to make sacrifices. You need to put yourself in a place where you're doing something for you. Otherwise, the satanic forces will bless you and kid you and lie to you to believe that God is doing it. And if you're still using God and the Lord and Jesus, please stop. It's over 20 years since Yah made it very clear that those names were no longer acceptable, that the grace for their use had been withdrawn. You hurt Father grievously with your bad language. He is not God, a pagan entity. He is not the Lord, a pagan entity. He is not Jesus, or Yeshua is not Jesus, a pagan entity. Please stop. The Almighty, Yah, the eternally self-existing, Yeshua. In other words, a vital point of seeking to qualify for a high throne for eternity is to be willing to make great sacrifices. This can look like letting go of deeply held beliefs, dealing with issues in our own lives that we would rather ignore, doing things we don't want to do or find uncomfortable or inconvenient, loss of popularity, loss of following, loss of family, loss of finances, physical suffering, or any other form of sacrifice. It's not easy. Not because Yah didn't want it to be easy, but because there is this huge body of satanic and demonic entities who are out to get you if you're a truly committed believer. And they're going to get you. They're going to get judgments against you. They're going to trip you up. They're going to try and kill you. They're going to try and break you down. They're going to try and lead you into pride, lead you into doing stupid things, lead you into wrong beliefs about Yah and the way he does things. So you're going to need to make some adjustments. Jonah then goes on to experience the judgment seat of the anointing of the Spirit of Yah on page 75. Refer to Romans 14, verses 10 to 13. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we all stand before the judgment seat of the anointing of Yah, incorrectly Christ. Christ is another meaningless English word. It means, the Hebrew word translated Christ means anointed, with the Spirit of Yah, or one anointed by the Spirit of Yah. There are actually about four Greek words, all of which are translated Christ, all of which relate to different aspects of the anointing of the Spirit of Yah. So you will be judged by the Spirit of Yah that was in you as a believer. Continuing, for it is, verse 11, for it is written, as I live, saith Yah, the eternally self-existing, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to Yah. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to Yah. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Folks, we'll carry on next week with a lot more about the judgment seat. In my mind, the part about the judgment seat is probably the most important part of the final quest, because I'm going to walk down that pathway one day, and if you're a believer, you're going to walk down that pathway. So I'd encourage you to listen again next week. Get on the website, read the final quest. Really important stuff. I want to wrap up by asking you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator today? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you constantly talk to Him throughout the day and allow Him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of Him at all times? Do you worship Him at every opportunity? Do you count Him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard Him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose, and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. Folks, I've spoken at length in previous broadcasts about the fact that Yah created all of this, the universe, the solar system, the sun, the moon, this planet Earth, the plants, the animals, and us human beings with one objective only. He did that because He wanted friends. If you are not actively and energetically seeking to become a friend of Yah, you're missing the whole reason for your existence. And it doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, fat or thin, tall or short, Jewish or Muslim or Christian or whatever. It doesn't matter whether you're Jehovah's Witness or whatever denomination of Christianity you're in. It doesn't matter whether you are a Satanist, a witch, a warlock. It doesn't matter whether you're African, Asian, European, whatever. Father wants you to become His friend. He will meet you wherever you are. It's up to you to say, Father, I desire to know you. I desire to become your friend. Lead me and guide me. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and I can connect with you by Skype, Zoom, Teams, email or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when I'll continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator, and we'll look in more depth at where will you spend eternity. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make His enemies His footstool. Folks, there's a huge amount on the website. I urge you to go to that at www.endtimeissueministries.org. There's about 250 articles in the articles database. There's about 1,250 web pages. Lots of information about all sorts of things that will help you in your journey answer your questions. I'm going to wrap up tonight in a moment. For those of you who are regular listeners, I'm going to say goodbye. Those of you who are new either the first time or recently joined, I'd ask you to stay on for a minute or two, and I'll share a few more bits of information about me, the ministry, and what we have to offer. say again, Father Yon wants a deep personal relationship with you, and you can choose today to start seeking that deep personal relationship. Father, in the name of Yeshua, I ask you to help me to become your friend. It's as simple as that. And then do what you find to do. Contact me. I'll help you. There's lots on the website. Just start at the top of the website and work your way down. Jump in as you feel led. Go to the keyword cloud. Go to the sliders. Thank you so much. If you're going to drop off now, good night. And for those of you who haven't been on this call, this channel before, or only once or twice, please stay on. So in closing, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as a management consultant. I have over 30 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March, 1993, when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room and I knew for certain that he was real. In learning about Father, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis of what I teach in these programs. See the video Why Seek Relationship near the top of the website for an interview of what I an overview of what I believe. Please visit the website at www.endtimeissueministries.org for a lot more information. The ETI version of the Bible with correction of key translation errors is at the ETI Bible version page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far on Google for relationship. So to find recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far, search on Google for, quote, relationship with Creator Radio, and also look at the transcripts on the transcripts of the broadcasts page near the top of the menu on the website. Books with teachings from 1998 till May 2019 are available at the Books for Printing page, and I publish regular email articles. Email me at james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. Folks, thank you so much. I hope to see you on next week's broadcast. Good night.
Father, I come to you, lifting up my hands. By your grace I stand.
Hi, I'm James Robertson. I want to ask you, where will you spend eternity? And I want to ask you if you know what is required in order to qualify to sit on a high throne for eternity. If you're not actively seeking a high throne for eternity, you're missing the point of your existence. Please listen to my broadcast on W4CY.com radio or TalkForTV.com. That's TALK4TV.com. Visit my website at endtimeissueministries.org or email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to find out more. I look forward to hearing from you. Have a good day.